Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship-ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Hello and welcome. This is our second week as a weekly show, the every other week. That was kind of my way of testing the waters, and we decided to dive in. So if you were with us last week, by the way, this is Morgana Ray. Hi, I'm Morgana Ray. I'm with my husband, Devin.
I am Devin.
Last week, we had my friend and astrologer, Carol Allen, as our guest. And if you tuned in last week, she explained why Devin and I have maybe been enjoying quarantine a little too much.
Oh, I don't know about too much, but we're okay. Could be worse.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's been very happy on the love front. So, because Devin and I are both, as Carol would say, late bloomers. So, of course, we're big fans of midlife love. And this week, we're talking about dating. And the reason I like talking about dating at midlife is because dating, when I was young, was a disaster. It was torture. And it didn't start to get good until I was in my 40s. And that's certainly in my experience when I started finally attracting quality relationship-ready dates. Devin, how was it for you?
You know, if I'm honest, I liked it. I liked it because, honestly, it was really very much for me about the intrigue and the anticipation of love, of like, of something.
When you were young?
Now it was horrible with dating. I was awkward and weird and pathetic and covered in acne. Oh, it was just dreadful. But I lived to tell the tale.
But you were covered in acne when you were a lady killer in your 20s and your 30s.
I don't know if I ever reached lady killer status ever.
Well, way your mother would tell it.
Well, my mother would say, except, of course, if she's listening to this, then she should know that I love her.
Yeah.
I love her madly.
Everything I know about your dating history, I either read in your book, your memoir, 10,000 Miles with My Dead Father's Ashes, which, by the way, I'm glad I did not read while we were dating because I would have run away. And whatever you didn't cover in the book, your mother filled me in.
Well, that's all unfortunate. It's true, but unfortunate.
But it was too late. I was already very, very married to you, like at least a dozen times before any of this came out. So,
Dating.
One of the fun things about living with you is I get to hear you talk to guys about dating, which is kind of a world that I was never privy to. And I actually hear you say things to men that I wish you had said to the men that I was dating 20 years ago. Of course, then maybe I might not be available for you now. So what is advice that you give to men who are dating?
Well, that is a broad question. And honestly, like, I wish I had the dating advice that I give when I was in my 20s, because at least I would have had sort of like an idea of what it was that I was hoping to get to or get at or what might be the goal. And I think, you know, when you're in your 20s, at least for me anyway, it was just this general thing that, you know, I don't know, girls, I love them. Now what? You know, and I don't know if there was much, you know, I didn't think about anything beyond that. But so I think to start it off, because it's such a huge subject, you know, what I actually had the conversation about today was, and we brought it up in past shows, where there's sort of like experts have said that the thing that breaks up couples is something, breaks up couples are like 5 to 7 things that are, you know, like the other person, like it's just an unresolved something. And it doesn't matter what the something is.
And these can be really big things.
Oh, they can be very big things. And, you know, in other words, one person wants to be, you know, celibate for their entire life, and the other person wants to have a sexual roundabout. And that's all great, but, you know, the two people have to come to some kind of agreement. And so the five to seven things can be really big things, but they can be really small things. In other words, just because I might think a thing is small doesn't mean my wife would think that thing is small. If she decides it's a big thing, it's a big thing. So, but whatever it is, if it's a big thing, it's a small thing, it's five to seven things. And then, of course, the flip side is for people who have been married 30, 40, 50 years.
Happily.
There are five to seven things that are sort of unresolved. And so dating for me, like to me, the secret key of dating is embracing the fact that whoever you're going to be with, like no matter how cute or successful or whatever, financially secure, confident, there's going to be five to seven things once you get out of the can't keep your hands off each other phase, right? Which
can last years.
It can last years. But at the same time, in other words, I think while you're dating, that's where you're sort of like, it's the fact-finding mission of finding what those five to seven things are. And then, and
no wonder those early dates feel like a job interview. I used to joke to my friends that the first date felt like a really bad job interview for a job that wasn't going to pay and required sex.
Well, that sounds great. Is that a problem? So, part of it is really the goal isn't to sleep with somebody, get undying love, not endless amounts of attention. It's sort of like recognizing that, you know, here's this other person in front of you, and you want to actually get to know them.
When I finally, after 40-something years, finally this light bulb moment that for somebody else might have happened immediately, but it took me a really long time to figure out that on the first date, there's really nothing at stake. They don't know me. How can they reject me? They don't even know me. And that when that clicked in, and I don't even know why that clicked in, but one day it clicked in, it gave me a very different experience, and I approached it with such relaxation and such willingness to ask anything, because as you said, Devin, it was sort of a fact-finding mission. And with, you know, years as a life coach at, you know, asking people the most intrusive questions that you can imagine, I was very comfortable asking, but why did you get divorced? Or whatever piece of information I felt was important or relevant, or as we shared last week, what's your birthday, location, and time of birth, because you were cute enough to like run
go
your
to,
numbers.
Go to run your numbers for those who weren't with us last week. That was the astrology chart.
Yeah.
So we could find
the right man report.
Right, and the astrological.
Yeah. If you want to link to all of that, that is last week's episode, Astrology and Love with Carol Allen. Anytime I wanted to maybe see a guy a second time, I would get all of his birth information and type it in and see how we matched up. And every guy was always like three red lights and two yellows, or four red lights and a yellow until Devin.
And we'll assume that a red light is not a good thing.
It's a stop, do not proceed. And it was always accurate. It was so annoying. So, back to dating.
Right.
So, yeah, first date, find out anything you want to find out. You said something when we were talking about the show before we began, when I was asking, what would you tell guys about dating? What advice would you give?
Right. Well, you know, in other words, first would be about, you know, understand that the person, whomever it's going to be, is going to have some sort of something. And it doesn't matter what the something is. You know, the conversation that I had with a buddy of mine who's obviously going to be nameless, who's a great guy.
You have a lot of nameless friends.
I do, and that's fine. They're entitled
to it. It's a little weird.
Well, okay, fair enough.
Go ahead.
So great guy. And so we were talking about, he just moved in with his girlfriend, who I'm sure is a lovely person. But they're both sort of in that place where they're sort of like, can I trust you? Can I trust you? And I think that goes on for a little while, because I think it's not really about trust. It's sort of like, we're at a stage where I've given you my heart, and now you can do something bad to it.
We were still in that after we got married.
Yeah, I think it's a process. In other words, I think there's that feeling out thing, like, hey, you know, all of a sudden I'm vulnerable here, and you can hurt my feelings, and you can say the wrong thing, and you make me cry, and I'll, you know, have to run to 10 therapists to go get it solved.
So what I liked what you said, that I was fishing for, but you weren't taking the bait.
Okay.
Is you said be kind.
Oh yeah, be kind is a big one.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, here me in the girl shoes, I tend to see that as more of a guy issue, but guys get hurt too on dates.
Oh, I've had dates where I'm slowing down the car and it's like, feel free to jump out. Because we just, you know, it was like, it was more than we just didn't click. There was literally like some sort of a weird something where we were just not meant to be.
So how do you tell whether it's, oh, I'm feeling triggered because maybe this is the person and the stakes are high, or give it up, get out while you can?
Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, some dating advice that I was given, matter of fact, by a woman is that you always are prepared to ask for a second date, even if you know that she's going to say no, unless you have a really good reason.
Hmm.
And so and that kind of goes to the 5 to 7 things. In other words, most of the 5 to 7 things are like, they're more in the nuisance category than they are like a really horrible deal breaker kind of thing. So, you know, I tell guys to just go for a second date without any, you know, particular expectations, but just like, hey, we understand that the first date is going to be, it's going to be what you just described. Oh, it's a Q&A, it's an interrogation kind of thing, but on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides. Women are going to have a lot of questions, and men are going to have a lot of questions. And then I think it's also about listening, but being prepared to just recognize, hey, the first date could have just been a mess because of one of 10,000 things, because somebody's nervous, it's uncomfortable, it's the first day, that never sounds great. And then so what ends up happening is that the second date is, you know, let's have a comfortable, you know what I mean? I think we're taking off some of the edge, because even if it's sort of like a friend zone kind of thing, that within itself is just relaxing.
Mm.
And then who knows?
The difference between dating for women and men, in my experience, is a bad date for a guy is an unpleasant, unappreciative date, or he doesn't get laid, or the sex is bad. And a bad date, like the worst date a woman can have, is she gets assaulted, raped, killed. So our criteria is a little different. So for me, I would be, if I feel in any way unsafe with a guy or disrespected with a guy, that is grounds for no second date. And the more ruthless, the better. Just because my tendency is always to be too far to the extreme of being understanding and giving people second chances. So I would, what really helped me was when I got better at saying no to people online, saying no after the first phone call, saying no after the first date. And I was kind of a one-date wonder for a really long time, because it took me until midlife to get really honest with myself about who a good partner was. And at a certain point, I became unwilling to pretend and make excuses for somebody for 2 years before we broke up over the thing that I really could have predicted and felt screaming in my entire body the first week of dating. The nice thing is guys tend to be really, really clear about who they are. And if it's not a good match for you, it could be a good match for somebody else. If you have a story about dating, like a crazy date that you were on that you'd like to share, we would love to hear your story. Call in at 888-627-6008. Also, if you're just feeling date challenged, heartbroken, confused, give us a call. We would love to hear from you. We're just here to have frank conversations about love and travel. So you
we're
look
not
like,
talking about travel.
We're not talking that much about travel today.
No, but at some point down the road, we'll talk a lot about travel.
We do, and we still do from time to time. We often talk about weddings. I just thought today let's talk about dating. And dating now is actually different, and I like that people are dating over the phone and on Zoom before we get face-to-face and our pheromones go crazy. So there's courtship. This is something that I wish that we had had more of, minus all the disease stuff, but just the slower getting to know each other experience in the dating world. Because, you know, one of the reasons that dating was so painful when I was in my teens and 20s and 30s was it felt like a meat market. And it wasn't until I was in my 40s and finally getting good at setting boundaries and saying no and believing that the universe was abundant enough that I could say no over and over and over again and there were still quality people out there. It wasn't until I was in my 40s that I was actually meeting people who were relationship ready, which is, by the way, why I love the whole midlife dating world, because that was the only time in my life that I had fun dating. Interesting people. My screening mechanism got better, and so did yours, Devin.
I don't know.
Really?
Are you
still questioning this?
No, I'm not questioning it. I think, and you may disagree with me.
Yeah.
But this was some other advice that I got that I think is great advice. And of course, I'm talking about sort of like the heteronormative thing. I don't know what the right phrase is, but in a man-woman relationship, the woman invites you into the relationship and ultimately invites you out of the relationship.
Mm.
And I think that was incredibly useful for me because at some point it wasn't really my call. When I started thinking about, and I got this relationship information from another friend, and I agree with that. I think at the end of the day that the women hold the cards. And let me give you an example. If you said to me, oh, no, this is it. This is the one date. Good luck to you. You are not my type. I would have dealt with that and it would have been fine, right? But instead let's go out again. But at any point, had you said no, or, you know, even let's say if I had not a great time and you were like, I had the best time, let's go on another date, I would have gone on the other date. Now,
but
that wasn't what
you.
No, I think that's a lot of guys. I've spoken to an awful lot of guys where, in other words, like, I think the human experience is still a human experience. Like, are there certain things that are sort of like more women and less men or whatever? Yeah, absolutely. I think that thing's a true thing. At the same time, I think the women are really the card holders to the relationship. And for me, that was like, oh, right, okay. So there's nothing really for me to do other than be myself. And I think from a woman's perspective, knowing that she's just, you're in control of whether we have another date or not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about there's stalkers and terrible things happen. I get that. I'm just talking about like you're dealing with a regular person who's an okay person, maybe your cup of tea, maybe not your cup of tea. In that sort of general thing, that a woman has the ability to say, oh, let's go on another date. Even if it was like, oh, we had a so-so time, but let's go on another date. That guy is going to go on another
date. That is so the reverse of my experience.
Yeah.
My experience is the guy asks or doesn't. If he's not interested, he's sleeping with other women or just stops, texting. One of the best pieces of advice that I got was from my dating coach friend, Evan, because I like to make sure everybody rhymes for convenience. Devin, Evan,
There's no sense in stretching yourself.
Right. It's just too much effort. The person I was dating before, he was Kevin. It was just very, very convenient.
Right.
But so Evan said, do nothing. Do you want to know how a man feels about you? Do nothing. Do nothing, and he will let you know. If he likes you, he will email you, or he will call you, or he will text you. But if I am texting you and calling you and emailing you, I can never find out if you like me.
Right, but that doesn't mean you're not holding the cards.
I think the cards are
nothing.
Pretty
50-50. Doing nothing.
Do people have a choice?
Well, everybody has a choice. No, there's no question about that. I'm just saying, ultimately, that the relationship succeeding or failing will be whether or not the woman wants to maintain the relationship. And it doesn't matter. Let's say I call the girl, right? Boy X calls the girl, girl Y, and says, I want to go out with you. And he makes all the calls and he buys the flowers and he does all the things that are right. At the end of the day, the date will not happen. If the girl says no.
If the girl doesn't like him, just like the date won't happen if the guy doesn't like her?
Okay, I would disagree. In other words, I don't know if a guy will go out on a date and say, I just dislike her. I think that is highly, highly unlikely. I think a guy is going to be like, okay, go on another date. If she gives even
a
little
time. No. The guy, if the guy, back in my dating years, guys would have like certain tiers of women. And if you're just the backup woman because the girl he's really interested in is not available, that the backup woman has no cards. She can say no, but she
right.
doesn't
that's,
drive the relationship.
By
because,
the way,
yeah.
That is holding the cards. That's exactly
but
right.
He could also not call. He's not really interested
right,
in a relationship
okay,
anyway.
You said an interesting thing. So you said the backup girl.
Uh-huh.
The backup girl is there because he's open to seeing her more often.
Because she likes him more than he liked her.
That's irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant to her.
Well, then she should stop thinking so
well,
hard
she
and decide
may not,
whether or not she wants to
she
be
She likes him. She may not know she's the backup girl.
Right. So I still don't understand your point.
The backup girl doesn't have cards. She can't drive the conversation because he's really into somebody else.
Well, if you can't hold up an end of a conversation, we're having a different conversation. Well, that's not about whether or not he's holding cards of being in the relationship. If she says, don't call me anymore, most guys are not going to call the girl anymore.
Let's hope. Yeah.
Again, I'm not going with some there's crazy outliers. Understood.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about a regular person who's out in the world, who's trying to find love.
One of my very favorite conversations that I eavesdropped on your side of the conversation.
Yes.
Was
I need
you
to
were,
just give you an extension.
Yeah.
So you don't have to just use like a glass when you press your ear against
no,
the wall.
No, you're actually quite loud. So, and thank you.
I am quite loud.
Yeah.
Thank
so,
you. I want to make sure that there's clarity.
So what is your advice to men who are dating a woman who's more into them than they are into her? And he wants to get laid, but he knows that she likes him more than he likes her, and he doesn't really want a relationship with her.
Well, again, we're also talking about the difference between somebody who might be 22 years old versus somebody who might be 32 years old, somebody who might be more apt to be wanting to be in a relationship versus somebody who's not. For somebody who is looking just to get laid, it's a different sensibility. But if that person is like, hey, I'm at a place in my life where I'd really like to have a long-term serious relationship, then I tell them not to sleep with her in the beginning because it's not like, I think in the big picture, waiting is going to be fine. Matter of fact, I think it's going to be healthier because then the relationship isn't going to be purely based upon some chemical thing that develops because you're sleeping with each other. I think if you wait, you're going to get to know that person a little bit better and without the rose-colored glasses of recent sex.
I also...
What else did you
overhear? My favorite thing, what I wish you had told every guy that I dated with when I was young, was don't sleep with her because it will cause drama.
Right. Well, that's true, too.
I think that's very good language for men.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely true because, again, all of a sudden the rose-colored glasses start kicking in and you don't know somebody and all of a sudden there's, like, you're kind of going from 0 to 60. And 0 to 60 is fun. I mean, it's part of the evolution that we go through in life, right?
And we women attach when we're having sex. The science of it is the oxytocin, the bonding chemical, pours into our bloodstream and our estrogen magnifies the effect. Your testosterone minimizes it, so we have a very different result. But the woman gets attached even if she doesn't really like you.
Right.
So, yeah, sex is emotionally treacherous stuff too early in a relationship before you really know who the person is. So
after that definitive
I keep thinking I want you to sing, but you don't want to sing.
No, I'm not singing. Why would I sing? We're on a talk show.
I know.
Talking.
Because every cis hetero girl who has ever lived likes a cute guy who has a sweet voice and writes love songs.
Right, but this is a married guy, so I don't know if this is
we're not.
The cis hetero woman who's longing for
it was just a very a very nice little surprise. Although that didn't work on me in our dating.
No, it was it fell flat like a sack of rocks in the ocean. Yeah, that did nothing.
Not that flat. I was just already hooked.
Right. Well, that might.
You needed to pull it out sooner before my clothes were off.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. So that all said, what advice do you give to women who are looking for love?
Very, very similar, which is slow down thinking. Simon and Garfunkel, you're going too fast. You want to make the moment last.
That's the 59th Street Bridge song?
Yes, of course.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I'm of a certain age. So, yeah, definitely, especially... Because when I came of age and became sexually aware and active, AIDS was already front page headline all the time. So I just had it really hardwired in my system that anytime you have intimacy with another person, it could be life or death. And that's true again today. And then you add, you know, pregnancy and the dangers of picking a psychopath or something. So you really, really, really want to slow it down and get to know the person before your hormones take over. And that is fun. And always be honest. I know there was a book that came out decades ago telling women to settle, saying you are single and in your 40s, and that's the worst thing in the world. You'll never meet a man, which is insane. And you should have settled. And if you, if you're in your 40s or your 50s, you know who you are, which makes you a better relationship partner because you've already gone on a lot of those bad and crazy rides already. The guy you can't hold a job, the drug addict, the womanizer, whatever, you know, you've been on the rides you don't want to go on again, and you have your super radar that you can spot it where you couldn't before you went on that ride. So you get to skip a lot of nonsense. And finally, in midlife, we know what's important. We know what really matters. Like, for me, Devin's ability to comfort, his integrity, his ability to communicate, and his sticking around. Like he said, when we fight, he'll say to me, I'm not going anywhere. You can't get rid of me, which is like music to my insecure attachment heart. So these are the kindness, the safety, and of course, the sexiness.
You so said, but how is that helping a woman right now?
Well, what I want to say is we tend to fall for a lot of superficiality. We are much more gullible when we are younger. When we are in midlife, we have better judgment because we can recognize the patterns faster and we know what we need to be happy. And we can take care of ourselves. So we are not looking to be rescued so we can hold out for the best partner. We are far, far more likely to be economically independent. And if you're not, work on that, because you want to choose the best partner and not be dependent on the best pocketbook, because that can come with a lot of costly challenges. And you never want to have to be with somebody. You want to be with the person that you choose. Nobody wants to be the meal ticket. We want to be loved. And that goes both ways for the man and the woman. So, yeah, dating is better now because as we get older, our tolerance for bullshit just goes down.
Are we allowed to say that word on this radio?
I hope so.
I wonder what happened. There was silence that were happening.
If there's like a $500,000 FCC fine, we will find out from our producer after the show.
Well, yeah, more gets revealed. The joy of life.
So if you're dating, if you are scared to date, by the way, I was so beat up from dating in my 30s that I quit dating for years. I think, I don't remember if it was 6 or 7 or 8, but I just quit for years to just give my heart a rest. Read a bunch of trashy novels. If you have questions about time-traveling Scottish lairds and sexy vampires, I know all the books. And then I was ready to kind of crawl out again and give it another go because I wasn't hurting anymore. I wasn't feeling needy anymore. And I could just meet people and take them or leave them, which is a really healthy place to be when dating. And again, that was just, you know, a lot of that has to do with just time on the planet and living my own life. So that's what I have to say about dating for women. Take your time, love yourself, and let him show you who he is. Date who the person is in front of you, not their potential. Oh my God. If you will not be happy with exactly who he is today for the next 20 years, he's not your person. And the nice thing about a certain age is you can tell if a guy is cooked because you don't want to take a gamble on a 50-year-old that you might have taken on a 20-year-old. Yeah, be honest and be kind and have fun and don't be attached.
I think that's the number one thing.
Yeah.
At some point. Like, I think in theory, dating can just be, like, it doesn't have to be, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think you should ask questions. I think you get to know the other person, but it's supposed to be fun. This isn't just supposed to be this endless chore of
pain and suffering. When
it's
fun. Well, it did feel like that sometimes. It got fun, and the reason it got fun was I listened to my intuition. And if I had any no in me, that was it. And it just took me a long time to get there. So first, oh my gosh, here are some tips on dating profiles. If he's wearing glasses, No. If he's standing in front of a fancy car, no. If he's jumping out of an airplane, no. If he's showing a photo of you with other women, no. If he's holding alcohol, no. if he is, but, and if he's shirtless or even bottomless, no, no, no. And no bathroom selfies. Like, just get all those out of the way. If he texts you letter R, letter U, letter R, and then another word, no.
All right, I have to speak up.
Yes.
I have to speak yes. up here. So I think all of these no's make dating much harder. And I think part of the reason why some guy is standing in front of a Ferrari or posing shirtless in a bathroom is not because he's an evil person. By the way, I didn't do that, so I'm not necessarily defending it. What I'm saying is that your average guy doesn't have a clue of what it is that a woman wants. And part of it is because of all the no's. I think a guy is like, okay, I don't know what to do, and I stood in front of this Ferrari, and I'm posting this picture of me and my sister because guys dig my sister, and maybe girls
That's
will see me.
That's a terrible, terrible, terrible idea.
I'm just saying that it doesn't have to be such a hard no.
Well, here's why that worked for me, and I got that advice from a guy friend. He said, if he's wearing glasses, if he's holding alcohol, if he's in front of the fancy car, if he's jumping out of the plane, he just wants to have sex. He's not looking for a relationship. If he's flaunting other women, he's just looking for booty. Move on. Unless you're looking for booty. And then power to you. Have fun. No problems there. I wasn't. The no's made the dates better. Because then I would have a phone call and I would be just really honest about the energy of the person on the date. And what Devin doesn't know or forgot is that for years of online dating, I would get stood up 50% of the time by people who had asked me out, which was really weird and really a pain in the bottom, FCC people. Because, you know, if you're a woman, you put on the makeup, you drive across town, you find the parking, you sit there, and the person never shows up. When I started getting really ruthless with the no, and if I had any weird feeling, I didn't say yes, the stand-up stopped. Because when I got really honest with myself, I could tell. I realized, oh my gosh, if I had a doubt about the guy, that was the guy who wouldn't show up. And so when I started really tuning into like my inner knowing, my intuition, my physical clues, I stopped getting stood up completely. And the dates that I went on were good dates. That's why I say no.
So. Again, you're also dealing with women who might like skydiving. I'm not saying that every guy and every poster, every picture they post is brilliant. I think part of what's happening is that when you're going on, and I'm assuming we're talking about online dating at this stage.
That's kind of what we have. Right.
So when we're talking about that, I think that it's important to, A, know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
As a woman, you stop, and if you need to, you make a list. And you kind of start figuring out what are the things that you don't want in the world. And then you start figuring out what is meaningful to you. And I think making the snap judgment of the photograph, I think where you can really start finding more yeses rather than focusing on no's is going to be in a profile. And if somebody took time, you can tell by reading whether or not
your headshot was terrible,
right.
But I
did not post pictures of me with women, right, fawning over me. And I didn't have like I'm toasting with martini glasses. None of those kinds of things took place. But if there is a woman at home sitting and listening right now, and you're saying don't do this, and part of her own lifestyle is like I like to go out on Friday and have. You know, we have a Friday night, we're off in classes, and we have a great time for an hour or whatever her lifestyle is. that shouldn't be the first time she sees it. No, I think what she needs to kind of start considering is the kind of substance she wants in the bigger picture of what the relationship is.
Well, and by the way, I think the rules are different now. Because everything is online, there's less risk. You're not going to be physically attacked. If the person doesn't show up for your Zoom, big deal. Just, you know, go back on Tinder or whatever. So the
Tinder isn't a thing? Isn't that the rock?
Still a thing. It's still a thing. Our thing was OkCupid. We were pre-Tinder. But actually now I would say that, you know, you might as well give more people a shot. You don't have to be as careful. You don't have to say no as much, because there's really just the stakes are lower because you're not meeting in person. So meet anybody. You don't have to stick to the local. You can just have fun meeting guys online. It's when you start to meet in person that you, as a woman, sure, of course, you want to be certain that you're safe. And by the way, safe is actually really sexy. We can get soft. We can get very receptive. We can get wild if we feel safe. When we feel unsafe, that's when we really close off and get hard and bitter. Tip for guys. What else did I want to... Oh, dating profiles. And this goes for men and women. Big, big, big tip is don't make lists. Yes, yes, make your shopping list of love for your private personal use. But when you post what you're looking for, that's not where to post a laundry list. It's because it's not attractive to the person you want to attract. Paint a picture of the life that you want to have with your person. Paint the picture that would be attractive to the person you want to share that life with. And the more specific you are with it, the more you will repel the person who's not into that, assuming that the person actually reads the profile. But that's when that clicked, that's when I started getting really super quality dates, including the person I married 25 times and counting. Right?
Yeah.
You remember none of that, right? You don't remember my profile at all.
Not a bit.
I asked you earlier what you liked about dating me. Have you had time to come up with an answer yet?
I like you.
I'm a fisher. I like to fish for compliments.
Clearly fishing for compliments.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a lovely person, and you're smart, and you're funny, and you're well-intentioned, and you have a good heart.
What's your love language?
My love language? Is probably a service. That makes sense to me. To me, you know, the big picture, that's kind of the way I think, if you haven't already learned that in spades. My big picture, and I think everybody needs to know what their own big picture is so they can get their needs met. To me, love is an action, and that action is service. I always say that, and that's actually, I heard that from a friend of mine, Dave Marciano, who I haven't seen in years. And I think that, you know, I think there is this element where we're supposed to be of service. Like, in other words, if I'm not getting anything out of it, that's an act of love. I think that's what it's all about at some point. So don't get me wrong, you should to get something out of it.
So since there are five love languages, I believe there's words of affirmation. That's a big one for me. Touch is another big one for me. Gifts, really not. Acts of service, yeah, nice, and quality time, yeah. But those all of them are important. All of them are good. But there are the two things that make me feel like I am really, really loved. And then yours is act of service. So I can tell you how much I love you forever, and it just kind of rolls off your back.
They have a love language called "Leave Me Alone." That would also, like,
that would
I'm
be
just
acts
go,
of service.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. Yeah, that actually makes sense.
So, yeah. So for...
Which I think is a boy thing, by the way.
But yeah, it's very, very common for men. And the words of affirmation and touch, common for women. Gifts may be common for women, but I just don't have that one. So, how does a person please a guy who feels loved by acts of service? What does that look like?
Well, I think it's doing little things without necessarily being asked.
So, like when I pick up your bars at Trader Joe's.
Right. Yes. And by the way, the bars are sort of like those protein bars.
Mm-hmm.
The meal replacement. I don't even know what they call them. Protein nugget bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. It's made with dates instead of sugar and is piled with protein.
Yeah, it's candy but pretends to be healthy.
Right.
Exactly.
Something like that. Well, thank you. Thank you for ruining my illusion of what my breakfast is consisting of.
And it was such a tightly gripped illusion, too.
It was. It was important for me. That's not an act of service. I don't mind telling you that.
And that was not a word of affirmation.
No.
So there.
All right. Well, I don't even know what to do now. Where do we go from here? Confusion. Are we still dispensing advice?
It's so painful.
Yeah.
So let's see. Why do you think dating at midlife is better, Devin?
Oh, well, I mean, I think that's obvious. They say, I think our producer says that in the opening of our show.
Yeah.
Is that we get to know, I've gotten to know me much more. Like, I know what it is that I want. I have a better sense of who it is that I am. I know what doesn't work in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? That was for my 20s, right? Like the women that I dated in my 20s were great, even though some of them were completely awful, and with the understanding that I myself was also completely awful. I hope you don't turn off your computer.
No.
That I had learned, like I had to go with those women. So at the end of it, I had the choice, because sometimes I dated just the same woman over and over again. I had the choice to learn from what the experience was. I got to learn about myself within a particular thing. Did I want this kind of individual? And so over time, I got to sort of like, hey, okay, these are the things that are acceptable to me. So I think, and I also think the idea of making a list is sort of like was an easier way to go. I don't know if I would have done that in my 20s. I think I would have said, yeah, I'm doing my own thing. And then I would have ran off into another oncoming train.
So why did those relationships not work?
Well, I mean, a whole variety of things. I mean, I think it's not the same thing every time, but I think in general, there was a part of me that they weren't ready. I think there was a part where I was not ready. I think sometimes, you know, going back to the 5 to 7 things, I might, you know, not have been okay with their specific 5 to 7 things. I don't even know what it was. I mean, you know, I think as we get older, we just become more accepting. Like, I'm much more into the idea of compassion. And I think if I were to make a list, like, compassionate would be high on it. When I was 24, that's absurd.
Did you know what that word was?
No, of course not. I think it was a word that I passed. If I was playing Scrabble, I might pass that word while I was looking up something else. But it wasn't, you know, I think it's one of those things that over time it starts becoming more meaningful. So the same thing with honesty and truthfulness. And again, you know, this is not to say, like, some of the guys that I speak to who are, like, in their late 20s and early 30s are some great guys. I mean, they're really good guys. Like, they're way ahead of where I was at. And it may just have to do with what's happening in society as a whole, and people become a little bit more hip to sort of knowing themselves. And I think these guys are going to be great partners, you know, as time moves on. But it's, you know, I think it's a process. And they have, you know, that's what I needed to do. I needed to go through my own process.
It's weird. I was doing lifts, like, early on. But then I was searching earlier. And I thought I was ready earlier, but I wasn't really. Like, I had the opportunity to get married in my late 20s, and I just freaked. I really, really wasn't ready. And he was a lovely person, and it wouldn't have worked because I just wasn't ready, and I needed more life under my belt. But, you know, when we're talking about cutting through the crazy, I dated some really, I had some very crazy, scary first dates. I think I told you about the guy who, on our very first date, gave me his entire sexual history in really graphic detail and named the full name of every woman.
Well, he clearly has a very good memory.
Yeah, kudos to him.
That's a good thing.
And so I didn't want to be on that list for the next person. And then he flipped out when I didn't continue to date him. So that was my off the top of my head craziest date story. What was yours?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there was, like I said, there was a couple. I remember, you know what it was? I remember dressing up and going to a really nice restaurant in Los Angeles that I made reservations for. That was really not like me at all. I thought really highly of this girl. I tried really, really hard. I think I borrowed a car so I could look like, I mean, I had a car, but it was like I think at the time I was driving a gold Chevy van from 1971 that, like, literally somebody had to be turning the ignition while I was underneath it. And I had like a fire hose nozzle. It was just a big metal thing. And I'd have to bang the starter as somebody was turning the ignition at the same time. And then it would make a connection and then the car would drive. So every time I was driving
the Bay Magnet.
Totally. It had a shag carpeting in the back of this van. It was fantastic.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't for all women, you know, just when you're in your early 20s car. Mm-hmm. So I borrowed a car, and I put forth all of this effort. And I think in my brain I had this expectation that it would be, all of it would be really appreciated. And it wasn't. It wasn't appreciated. And it was obvious that she was just somewhere else, and that's fine. I mean, looking back, I was hurt and offended and insulted, and we had terrible conversation. And I was really excited, like, oh, wow, I've got this great gal on my arm. And, you know, anyway, long story short, probably three quarters through it, I was like, we're done, in my head.
Is that when you wrote the song Smorgasbord of Love?
Yeah, actually.
And our producer actually has that song.
Yeah, he's not playing it right now.
Okay, but we're going to hang that over. Yeah, we're going to hang that over your head.
Sword of Damocles.
I love that song.
All right.
It's a good song.
Yes, it is a cute song. And it really is kind of, and really what I learned was that, you know, part of me was just trying really too hard. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. In other words, it would have probably been far more appropriate to have really known whether or not we liked each other rather than sort of like pulling out all the stops on date number one.
If only there had been a pandemic and the internet.
Well, you know, we'd have to find out. I'd be curious to find out what people are doing now who are actively dating. Like, you know.
Well, I heard from our caller 2 weeks ago who was asking whether it was appropriate to surprise a woman by picking her up without asking.
Right. And I think when we say pick her up.
Like physically.
Physically pick her up, which is kind of
not like drive by and pick
right.
her up. Yeah.
Crossing a threshold.
Yeah. Well, but he's actually dating somebody who they're really into each other and they're having, you know, hours long Zoom conversations. He's been, you know, keeping me posted on it. That's happy news. They're getting to know each other, and they like each other.
Well, and I think this is, again, like, I think at the end of the day, this is sort of like a, you know, it's sort of a big drag for sure. But I think at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of good that's going to come from all of this. And perhaps for people who are dating right now, they're going to have more opportunity. And, you know, at the same time, you know, there's people who are just going to be leading their normal lives. And I understand that. That's what they're doing.
We've talked. You know, I've asked you about what you tell guys, but we went to two weddings last year where you were kind of a guest of honor because you were sort of integral to the success of these women's love lives. So what do you say to women?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, a lot of it's the same kind of stuff. I mean, it's a lot of it's about having fun and cutting yourself some slack. You know, I, as you know, I have an ebook that really sort of details some of this stuff. But I think perhaps the most important thing is...
And by the way, if you're listening, the ebook is totally free. It's at crazysexymidlifelove.com. And there's also like a 3-minute video of our first 11 weddings that Devin cut together, which is really cute. But back to your ebook.
What was I saying? So, we only have a very brief amount of time left. A lot of it is about getting to know yourself. And it's also about sort of understanding that I think, don't get me wrong, like there's always a range of the way people are. But I think in general, I think women are smarter than men. That's my humble opinion. I think
we'll not be with you there.
They're emotionally smarter. They're great at so many other things. We're good at like moving a refrigerator. We're
yes,
good at
you
sliding
are.
Things around, moving the couch. I'm strong. I'm good with that. And I think women have that sort of emotional intelligence thing. And at the same time, I think what they're very capable of doing, at least from the many women that I've spoken to on the subject, is that they're very capable of sort of like having this belief that men are actually as smart emotionally as they are. So when a man doesn't get the nuanced point a woman might be making, all of a sudden she's going to judge him not getting it and assuming that if he loved me, he would know. He would be able to read my mind the way the other woman could raise an eyebrow. And between women, this all makes sense. And for a man, this is like we are lost.
When I was talking about how what we want changes as we get older, like one of the really...
And I think we're down to like a minute or 30 seconds.
Yeah, like one of the really big shining differences about you is that your emotional intelligence is way, way, way up there, you know, just very kind, very caring. You create a safe place, and that matters. That matters to me more than skydiving and fancy cars and holding champagne glasses and shirtless selfies
again,
in the bathroom.
By the way, there is that shirtless selfie guy is deserving of a good life too.
Yes,
and there's a great woman. There's a great woman who is going to spot something in his profile and go, you know what? Maybe. And it's worth a Zoom call, especially,
yes.
You know.
Especially now, yeah.
Especially now, you know, meet during the day at you know, whenever there's some coffee joint in the area.
Well, let's stick to Zoom first.
All
get
right.
To know each other first.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, sir, that's it. So, anyway, this was Devin and my lovely wife, Morgana.
How many times now?
My lovely wife of 25 times. So miracles do happen. So if you're having a hard time in your dating world, just keep striving. Keep getting to know yourself and other people. And thanks for being with us today.
And if you would like to be part of our community, just show up at crazysexymidlifelove.com, grab Devin's ebook. And we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.